Okay. You're listening to Free Radio Olympia on 98.5 FM. On the phone, we have Sean, who is a member and friend of Family and Friends of Daniel McGowan, who is a 31-year-old environmental and social activist who was arrested at work on December 7th, 2005, regarding two incidents of arson in 2001 in Oregon claimed by the Earth Liberation Front. Sean, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, can you tell us so far what's going on with Daniel's situation?
Keep having me. Well, as you mentioned, Daniel was arrested in the first week of December, and he had a kind of very quick bail hearing in New York where he was denied bail. And then for the past 3 to 4 weeks, he's been transferred around, and now he's in Wayne County Jail in Eugene, Oregon. And he's being held there awaiting his next court hearing, which he has a bail hearing in Oregon set for the 25th of January.
And what is he being charged with? I heard there's 16 counts.
He's being charged with 16 counts relating from two incidents in Oregon. One was in January of 2001, and one is in May of 2001. There's two counts from the incident in January, which I don't have a whole lot of details on. And then there's other 14 counts are from a Jefferson Poplar Farm fire that happened in May of 2001 that was allegedly claimed by the Earth Liberation Front. And the charges stem from everywhere from arson of a truck to possession or use of an incendiary device or bomb to conspiracy. Looks like as of now, if he's convicted of one of the major charges, which is the incendiary device charge, then he'll face a minimum of 30 years. If he's convicted of both charges, one from January, one from May, then he has a mandatory minimum of life. And since these are federal charges, he would not get parole.
So what does it mean, the incendiary device, and how does that add on this life sentence? Like, what kind of device are we talking about?
Well, in this case, it looks like the incendiary devices were plastic buckets that were filled with some solvent that had some sort of timer. Not much more has been released than that. But obviously, in this case, when we're talking about charges that are almost 5 years old, there can be no possession of an incendiary device, so it can only be, they can only convict him of the use of it. And since an incendiary device goes up in flames, there is no evidence. So there is only testimony from some informants that the FBI has supposedly been using for some time.
From what I've read on the internet, there doesn't seem to be any concrete physical evidence. Can you talk more about the informants and how that has happened in this case?
Well, it seems pretty clear that if there wasn't any evidence, that the arrest would have been made sooner than 5 years after the actual event. What has come up recently is someone by the name of Jacob Ferguson, who has supposedly been wearing a wire and going to different animal rights conferences and environmental conferences and talking with different people. And so they have some wiretapping evidence that supposedly states that Daniel was in Canada, which he was in Canada, but it was nothing that was secret or hiding. But the prosecution has kind of used that to say that he was hiding from authorities and saying that he's been hiding out in New York City under a false name when he was using an alias during the Republican National Convention to protect his privacy. He was doing a lot of high-profile media work. And considering the death threats that were coming into the website's email addresses, it's quite clear why someone would use an alias under such circumstances.
So what kind of an activist is Daniel? Like, can you tell us some projects that he has been involved in?
Well, as I just mentioned, he was involved in demonstrations against the Republican National Convention when they came to New York City in 2004. In addition to that, he does general work around New York City, around really free markets, which, as you may know, is kind of a forum where everyone brings together things to give away, and people trade and exchange services and goods, and nothing is for sale. And he's also done a good amount of work for political prisoners, most notably Jeffrey Free Lewis, who's facing over 22 years for the burning of three SUVs from 5 or 6 years ago, I believe. So he's been in a lot of high-profile situations, and especially his work for political prisoners, especially someone as notable as Jeffrey Lewis, seems pretty clear why he may be targeted and why they would want to put him away for, you know, almost life.
How would you describe Daniel personally? What kind of a guy is he?
I've known him for well over 3 years. I consider him one of my closest friends. He is the warmest, most kindest, most selfless person I've ever met. He only works for nonprofits. He keeps piles, and, you know, we live in New York. All of our apartments are 10 feet by 10 feet, and he keeps piles in his apartment of things to give away to different people. He's always mediating between friends who are arguing. He's just generally always doing things for other people. These charges are quite surprising and quite ridiculous. His absence in our community has left an incredible void.
Wasn't he working at a woman's or a law clinic for victims of domestic violence when he was arrested?
That's right. He worked doing web services for a group called Women's Law, which provides legal services for victims of domestic abuse. And they just kind of came into his workplace, put handcuffs on him, and took him away. And then searched his entire apartment, took all of the computers, photo album, video and audio tapes, pretty much anything that had any personal or significant value to him or his partner, Jenny. Just kind of, you know, trash the apartment as they do when they serve a warrant.
So they completely trashed his apartment?
Right, and took, you know, things of personal value to both him and his partner, you know, photo albums and other personal effects.
So he was arraigned in New York City and then, I guess, extradited to Oregon. Is that correct?
That's right. And then he'll have what's called a trial assessment. So, well, he's been arraigned in Oregon as well. He was arraigned in New York City, and then he was extradited to Oregon and arraigned once he got there. And so he's pled non-guilty. He denies any involvement or knowledge of any of the charges against him.
So this must be quite shocking to his family and friends. How are they reacting to this news?
Oh, of course, definitely a shock. Everyone from every corner of his life has been extremely supportive. His workplace is entirely behind him. He was in school for acupuncture near the top of his class. His entire school and all his classmates are behind him. His family is very squarely behind him, putting up pretty much their entire lives to try to secure his release on bail. He's been receiving a great number of letters since he's been in, and that's really been a great source of inspiration and motivation for him. Receiving letters really keeps his morale up and is just about the best that we can help him at this moment.
Has Daniel made any public statements yet since being incarcerated?
He hasn't had a chance to really make a public statement. He has been talking. He has had a couple visits with people outside of counsel, which is kind of where he's being held in rather high security pretext, which seems more like a punishment than anything, but he's being held in maximum security. So he has very restricted visits, very restricted permissions. He can only have 10 sheets of paper at a time, for example. He has a very restricted access to his commissary, so he can't buy food, for example. He's a vegetarian, and with that, you know, paper and stamps and and whatnot is all in very scarce supply for him at the moment. But I think shortly after the bail hearing, we'll get some sort of public statement from him directly.
So he's going to have another chance for bail, is that it?
Right. On January 25th in Lane County Court, he's going to have a trial assessment and bail hearing, and we're going to try to get him out to so that he can be free while he prepares for his trial, of course. And so that's kind of a lot of our energy is going to that right now, preparing for that, writing support letters to the judge for people who know him.
So would it be a good idea to get people down to that hearing or supporters? Like,
we're certainly happy to have anyone there who has his interest in mind, but we are asking people to understand that it is a courtroom setting and that people kind of dress to that level of importance. We're asking that people, you know, put on that suit and not give the prosecution any reason to point at the crowd and link him to a larger conspiratorial clandestine cell as they tried to do in New York City when some supporters came to the court. The prosecution made a movement to point at the crowd and say, look at this, you know, look at this group of people that he's associated with. It's obvious that he's a flight risk, and we don't want to give the prosecution any means or any ammunition, if you will, to paint him as a flight risk when those of us who are close to him know that there's no way he would flee from these charges, these bogus charges.
I read on some transcript from WBI that some prosecutor pulled out or didn't even furnish this mysterious tape that essentially denied him bail in New York. Can you talk about that?
A specific case? I'm sorry, I don't.
Like, there's some tape that was made that some prosecutor brought out to help deny Daniel bail, but they never produced it. I don't know. I just read this off the internet, off WBAI.
There was, the bail hearing was, or the original bail hearing in New York was in two parts. The first, the federal prosecutor mentioned a tape recording that said that Daniel was a flight risk. And the judge agreed to hear that in a closed chamber over the period of the next day. And the next day, she said that the judge said that she had listened to excerpts of the tape, and that while Daniel never said that he was hiding, he never said that he was fleeing from anything, that the quote-unquote substance of the testimony from the federal agent was still implied. And that was kind of a turning point to refuse him bail. But there was a post on the Independent Media Center that was kind of an open call for support at the court, and that was kind of the, and it mentioned an alias that he had used, and that was kind of a clincher for the judge to deny. She seemed like she was considering, and then when the IMC article was addressed by the prosecutor, it was kind of the banging of the gavel at that point.
So they're using independent media to make Daniel's situation more difficult.
Right, and that just kind of shows that we really need to be careful how we talk in public forums, and that we need to be careful about what we say, because in an open forum as such as the internet, while it can be an incredible tool, they can also turn and twist our words to make a case against someone stronger. So when you think you might be helping someone by getting information out, sometimes if you don't choose your words carefully, you might end up hurting that person.
So I've been asked from a lot of listeners for my show, how can people support Daniel and just make his life a little bit easier at this moment?
Well, there's a couple of different ways. We've set up a website called supportdaniel.org, supportdaniel is all one word, .org, and that's going to be kind of our way to, it's still under construction now, there's only a few things up, but pretty much the best way, if you knew Daniel, if you can write a letter to the judge and send that to the legal team, they're compiling a number of letters that show that people know him well and know that he would not be a flight risk. So the big team could certainly use more letters like that from people who know him. Even if you don't know him, a letter to Daniel himself is something that he really appreciates and looks forward to every day. At the moment, as I mentioned, he's in maximum security, and he only gets 1 hour out of his cell a day. And so when the mail comes, it's a very uplifting moment for him. And his address is on the website, and I can also give that over the air if you'd like.
What about for like people in Olympia and other places? How can we organize for Daniel in our local communities?
Well, fundraising is certainly a way that people can help. It's not certainly the most side of activism, to be sure, but we're expecting legal costs to be hundreds of thousands of dollars by the time that this trial is up. And so if anyone wants to put on shows or do any type of speaking events, any donations to the legal fund will be very warmly accepted and certainly a great way to support Daniel. As far as any other pleas for help, I think we're trying to take it really cautious, at least until the bail hearing. We're really, tiptoeing around and not doing a lot of media and not trying to generate a whole lot of noise about his case. If he's denied bail, we might change our tune, but right now we're just trying to do everything we can to secure his release, which means, hearing that he's not being fed properly, that he's lost 10 pounds, that he was on suicide watch for a couple weeks and denied proper bedding. So it certainly hasn't been the easiest time for him, but we're hopeful that we'll get him out, next week.
And when again is the bail hearing?
Pardon me?
When again is the bail hearing?
The bail hearing is on January 25th. I believe it's at 1:30 p.m.
And will people be gathering at the courthouse?
I believe so. I personally am coming out, and a couple of other of his close friends, and certainly his family is coming out. So there's going to be a number of people, and I know that he has friends still in the West Coast area who will be there. I think there's going to be more posts on the indie media, if you want to take a look at that. We'll be posting an update. There's also an announcement listserv that people can sign up to that will have all pertinent information and updates and work from Daniel himself. And again, you can sign up for that listserv via the website, supportdaniel.org.
Great. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I'd like to reiterate some of Daniel's words to the people who've already written him or spoke good words about him, that he really appreciates all the support that he's gotten from the community, and tells people to keep strong and keep fighting, and that he's going to do the same.
Cool. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.